With Montana News, I'm Mary Auld. Election Day is less than 2 weeks away, and Montana's candidates for governor are reporting big fundraising hauls over the last month. MTPR's Shaylee Rager reports.
Republican U.S. Representative Greg Gianforte loaned his campaign another $4 million, pushing his campaign's self-financing total to about $7.5 million. He raised about $225,000 from individual donors between September 16th and October 14th. Gianforte's total fundraising for the campaign rounds out to roughly $11 million, including loans. Democratic Lieutenant Governor Mike Cooney outraised Gianforte in individual donations during the same time period, raking in about $910,000. His fundraising total is now around $3.5 million. Libertarian Lyman Bishop reports giving his campaign a $10,000 loan over the last month, but no other contributions. Gianforte appears to have a slight edge over Cooney in a recent poll from Montana State University, although the Cook Political Report has labeled the race a toss-up. According to the Montana Secretary of State, more than 240,000 people have already voted by mail-in ballot in this election. That's equal to 47% of the total turnout of Montana voters during the 2016 presidential election. I'm Shaylee Rager, Montana Public Radio News.
Montana's top political cop says gubernatorial candidate and Republican U.S. Representative Greg Gianforte violated campaign finance laws by moving more than $180,000 from his primary election account to his general election account before paying all of the debts owed by his primary campaign. Gianforte then continued to raise money to repay primary debts, including loans he made to his campaign, which is another violation. Commissioner of Political Practices Jeff Mangan gave Gianforte's campaign 14 days to return the $181,000 to his primary campaign or refund about $137,000 of it to contributors. Campaign spokesman Travis Hall says the campaign will amend any reports as needed. Starting this week, Amtrak reduced daily passenger rail service along Montana's High Line to 3 days a week, pointing to drastic drops in ridership and revenue during the COVID-19 pandemic. Passenger rail advocates say this change will further diminish limited transportation options in frontier communities and justify more permanent cuts to the service. Rachel Kramer with Yellowstone Public Radio News reports.
The Empire Builder runs from Chicago to Seattle or Portland with stops in 12 Montana communities. Last year, over 120,000 passengers boarded or disembarked in the state. Paul Tuss is the executive director of Bear Paw Development Corporation, a federally recognized economic development district in northern Montana. During a U.S. Senate committee hearing Wednesday, he said Amtrak's Empire Builder brings in tourists, which contributes to the regional and state economies, and that it helps Montanans access advanced medical care, commute to work, and connect with family and friends.
Once that service becomes less reliable, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that they're not going to use it. If they can't go see their grandkids or their great-grandkids, or if they can't get to Seattle for a doctor's appointment, they'll find some other way to get there. And unfortunately, the numbers for Amtrak are going to slide further.
Montana Democratic Senator John Tester sits on the Commerce, Science, and Transportation Senate Committee, which held the hearing.
I pushed for this hearing because the Senate and the Trump administration need to hear firsthand accounts of just how tone-deaf recent Amtrak policies are when it comes to their effect on rural communities.
Amtrak President and CEO William Flynn said the government-subsidized rail service has almost run out of the $1 billion allocated through the CARES Act.
Our ridership levels now are not even covering what we call above-the-rail costs, which are fuel, the cost of attendance, stations, etc.
Amtrak is furloughing around 2,000 employees. Another 2,400 people could be furloughed later. Amtrak is asking for nearly $5 billion to $10 billion to restore service and recall workers for financial year 2021. 3 weeks ago, the U.S. House passed a revised HEROES Act that included $2.4 billion for Amtrak. The Republican-controlled Senate has not yet voted on the legislation. Rachel Kramer, YPR News.
A long-term care facility in Montana has been sued after health officials said its staff was negligent and allowed the coronavirus to spread through the facility in Whitefish earlier this year. The Missoulian reported that the lawsuit was filed Tuesday by the estates of three residents at Whitefish Care and Rehabilitation who died from complications caused by COVID-19. The lawsuit argued that at least 13 people died at the facility. The county had 23 coronavirus-related deaths. The lawsuit named the 100-bed long-term care facility and its administrator, Reed Crickmore. Crickmore did not respond to email or phone messages on Wednesday seeking comment. A county health board in north-central Montana today approved a proposal to set a threshold for new COVID-19 cases that, if surpassed, will trigger stricter restrictions on social gatherings and capacity in bars, restaurants, and casinos. Hill County, population 16,000, has had more than 600 COVID-19 cases. At least half of those are active. Health Officer Kim Larson said clusters have been associated with schools, work settings, and social gatherings.
We were doing really well up until about October. We've seen over half of our cases since October 1st, and we really need to get control over it.
If Hill County can't get down to 58 new cases per week starting next Monday, a new health order will require social gatherings to be capped at 25 people, regardless of their ability to maintain physical distancing. Restaurants, bars, distilleries, breweries, and casinos will be limited to 50% capacity. The new health order would be in effect for at least a month. The state reported 624 new COVID-19 cases Wednesday, bringing the total number of active cases to over 9,000. Missoula has updated its emergency winter shelter plan for the homeless with a new temporary location to house 150 people. Like everything else this year, COVID-19 has complicated the city's winter plans to bring people in from the cold. Edward O'Brien reports.
For the past 2 years, Missoula's Poverello Center teamed up with the Salvation Army to provide winter shelter for the homeless. Under normal circumstances, the Salvation Army would be able to shelter about 30 people during a cold snap, but the agency opted out of the partnership for this winter. The Poverello could normally handle a maximum of 175 people, but according to Executive Director Amy Allison Thompson,
right now we're only sleeping 88, and that is so we're able to provide 6 feet of distance in between all folks that are using our spaces.
That means the city and its partners, the county and the homeless shelter, had to find new emergency winter shelter arrangements. This year's additional location will be at the Johnson Street Community Center, a former warehouse. Thompson says it will follow strict Centers for Disease Control and Prevention health and safety guidelines. Officials plan to provide daily sack lunches at a minimum and hope to offer one warm meal a day. The new shelter is being funded with $340,000 in federal funds and $50,000 each from the city and county. Poverello's Amy Allison Thompson says both shelters will operate under what are called low barrier rules.
Low barrier meaning that folks are welcome to be on site as long as their behavior is okay and not based on sobriety.
The 24-hour Johnson Street shelter will operate from November 1st through March 31st. Missoula's announcement comes as the National Weather Service is predicting a record-shattering wintry cold front that could bring snow, wind, and bitter cold temperatures to the region by week's end. The Salvation Army has agreed to provide temporary emergency shelter this weekend only from 8 p.m. to 7 a.m. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.